appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
kept staring. He was lost in some distant thought. Then he turned and he said to that young girl, a little love and affection in everything you do will make the world a better place with all it's a new morning dawning on the green. Bouncing off the towers, the sun's headed down the street. A business meeting with no shades of dawn. Another morning edition headed for the porch because Grandma puts down the paper before Grandpa raises his fork. A little love and affection in everything you do. A better
to the Green family. In that last song, Grandpa Green and Jed Green were sitting on the porch. They're at a place called the Double E Ranch near Greendale. And living there is a beautiful 18-year-old schoolgirl named Sun Green. Sun like the sun. And her parents are Earl Green and Edith Green. Hence the name Double E Ranch. Psychedelic paintings, of which he doesn't sell very many. Actually, I don't think he's ever sold any. But they're very good. If you look at them for a long time, you can see many things. There are a lot of faces in these paintings, but you can't see them unless you look at the painting for a little while. Pretty soon you discover there's all kinds of people in there looking at each other, talking, embracing, laughing, fighting, But you don't see these things unless you really look. And the son loves to watch her dad paint. She's got a project going of her own, because she wants to be an artist too, I think. She's working with hay. She has a truckload of hay that she takes out in the field every day. She's working on a project. When she comes back, she always checks on her dad, see how he's doing. And that's kind of the way life is at the Double E. Tonight she's probably doing her homework, working on a book report. She's chosen the book, How to Use the Media. She's also doing a project on saving Alaska, the last great wilderness in North America.
Living in the summer of love.
explaining to his two crew members, who are a pair of 19-year-old boys, about Greendale and why they should be very careful when they go in for supplies. One of the things he tells them about is the jail, where apparently the devil lives. And he's been living there since 1911. That's when the jail was built. It's a very old building by American standards. So Captain Green is about 70 or 75, something like that. He's pretty old, but not too old. Kind of young looking in his face. He's telling these boys to be careful.
the red light shine on the streets of hate, where the devil dines. Who knows what he ate? It's a simple thing, trying to stay afloat. The captain said, without his boat, some things are getting better, other things a little worse. It's a situation much like a curse. Devil's sidewalk, it's the devil's door. I try to avoid it, said the captain on the shore. There's a garden growing in a million weeds, with no way of knowing who's done which deed. Honest tale, said the helmsman to the man, about a woman delicious in a matter of faith.
jail's been haunted for a long time. Everybody sort of knows it, but nobody talks about it very much. They say that the devil can just walk through the door or through the wall or through the bars whenever he feels like leaving the jail. So he could be anywhere he wants to be in Greendale. I guess he can be anywhere he wants to be on Earth. He can be in many different places at once. I think that's pretty obvious. One night, Jed took a ride in his old Lincoln. And just at the edge of Greendale was a sign that says, "Leaving Greendale." And that's where the map ends. There's nothing of importance outside of that, according to the Greendale Chamber of Commerce.
Thank you. makes you think about living and what life has to tell. Said get to grandpa from inside his cell. Camouflage hung in his closet, guns all over his wall. A book with plans for engineers and no numbers to call. The whole town was stunned. They closed the coast highway for 12 hours. No one could believe it. Jed was one of
Jed went to jail. And that's where he is now. Now, I think Carmichael probably went to heaven. That was Officer Carmichael. So Jed left him on the side of the road there. But Carmichael, he was a good guy. He had a lot of friends. got a beautiful wife, and a lot of friends in the force, fellow officers. And, you know, when something like that happens, there's a lot of wreckage. There's a lot of things that surface. Widow, still very young, she was devastated, and some of her friends were helping her at the house. They were going through some of Carmichael's belongings, and she couldn't handle it. She couldn't deal with it, and she didn't want to see a whole bunch of things around. She just wanted to see a few things that she remembered and got a good feeling from. So they were helping her.
Service drew to a close. He had relatives, but his wife
never showed.
She just couldn't face the man. They all understood. They got in their cars and drove home as directly as they could. Beneath her veil, shot down in the line of duty. Is that how justice never fails? I wish that things were better when we said goodbye today, but we had our share of good times though along the way. Remember, hey, Mr. Las Vegas, you used to be so cool. We met Wayne Newton down at Pebble Beach, and you acted like a fool. But we just couldn't stop laughing. It seemed so funny to us. We left our luggage back in the room and almost missed the bus.
Characters and they kept coming back. I've never done that before. So it was reminded me of my dad. So my dad's a writer. And he's written a lot of books. This is kind of like a book, so I was thinking, oh, all right, that's what I'm doing. But I was, when I write a song, you don't know what you're doing. If you're really writing, you're not thinking. Just got to be there and be open so things come out. So I was always surprised by the events that happened as they unfolded. Because we would record the songs right after I wrote them, which is the way I like to do it. So I would write one and then we'd record it. So during the instrumentals in these songs, though, there is no words. And a lot of things happen during the instrumentals. Like, for instance, in the instrumental, suddenly the devil appeared in Earl's studio one night and cleaned Earl's glasses. He came up and he took them in his hand. Cleaned them off of his jacket. Nice red jacket he had. He cleaned those glasses really clean. Probably cleanest glasses in the world. Because the devil is meticulous with his work. Next day, Earl came in and started painting. And he painted a person. It's the first actual, body that he'd ever painted. And it was a guy in a red suit with a hat on, Panama hat with a red headband, holding a sign that said Alaska. And he was hitchhiking, and somehow. Earl was shocked and had never done anything like that before. But, Earl's always wanted to sell paintings, so he took the painting down to the Gallery L in Greendale and showed it to Lenore, who owns the gallery. And Lenore loved this painting. This was the greatest painting she'd ever seen. She took it, she put it right in the most prominent part of the gallery, and told Earl, just bring in anything you paint that's like this, anything you want, just keep bringing it in and I'll take it. So Earl, he was amazed and shocked. It was a life experience for him to have such acceptance. Although, I think when he looked at the painting, he really thought, well, this is okay. I don't know what it is, but it's not as good as my other paintings, really, and all the faces and the depth, and you can look at my other paintings for a long time and never see all of it, just keep looking into it, look at it with the sun on it, looking in the dark, but this painting is just right in your face, so maybe people like things that they can understand right away, Anyway, he was happy, and he felt acceptance. Just the night before that, he'd been very depressed, and he stopped in a motel in Greendale. He was there with his Winnebago, full of paintings he'd been taking around to galleries trying to sell them unsuccessfully. So just the night before that he painted the devil's picture, he was probably at the low point of his life, sitting in a motel with his laptop computer, trying to get on the internet, seeing if there's anywhere he could sell his paintings on the internet, any way he could sell them, or any openings, or, and he was watching a little TV and talking on the phone some to Edith, and Lenore called him and talked to him, wondered how he was doing. Well, this tune here, this is about Earl's night in a motel.
Mm-hmm. the pages of this old book seems familiar. Might be worth a second look. Wrapping up dope in a paper bag, talking to yourself, taking a drag. What does it matter, the things you say? Who are you kidding? You'll never hear it anyway. Gotta get past the negative thing. Lawyers in business, you get what you bring. No one's sorry, you did it yourself. It's time to relax now and then give it hell. Someday you'll find what you're looking for. Someday you'll find everything you're looking for. You didn't bet on the Dodgers, beat the Giants, and David came up. Now you gotta pay up. You didn't count on that. Jeez, half the month is gone. The money's all gone. Where are you gonna go now? Can't go to your brother, because that money's all gone. Can't go to your friends. Someday you'll find what you're looking for. Someday you'll find everything you're looking for. Laid out like a bandit for all those years. What are you working for? One more big score? What are you trying to prove? Try to get closer, not too close. Try to get through, but not be through. Nobody can touch you now. Nobody can touch you. I can touch you now. You're invisible. You've got too many secrets. Bob Dylan said that. Something like that. Someday you'll find everything you're looking for. Someday you'll find
Well, son was sitting out on her truck, on the flatbed out in the middle of the field, looking at her handiwork. She was feeling very proud. She just finally created something that spoke out. She'd been working on it for quite a while. She was very proud of herself, had a feeling of accomplishment. She spent a long time working on it, and planning it, and laying it out. Finally, it was finished. She created a huge circle in hay against the beautiful green grass on the side of this beautiful hill, right where the airplanes could see it, flying by on their way into the big city, about 5,000 feet. They were right in the landing pattern. And she'd written in hay, "War," in the middle of the circle, and put a big line through it with hay all the way through. It was a beautiful thing. It was a good feeling to know that people in that airplane were looking out the window and they'd see this huge crop sign saying, "No war," and that she was responsible for making that statement. It was a great moment for her. I think kids, you know. That's quite a feeling. At the same time, Grandma and Grandpa were waking up in Greendale, finding that their house was surrounded by the media. And there were vans parked outside, people with cameras, microphones, lights, generators, helicopter above the house, was shaking the china in the china cabinet. And Grandma and Grandpa were really upset. So they went out the back door and got in the Eldorado and took off and escaped without being interviewed. Seems the press was eager to do a special on the Green family, featuring Grandpa talking about Jed, the cop killer. It would make a great story. Of course, the media figured that the Green family would be very happy to be on television. What a great thing that would be for them. So, they were a little surprised when they found the Greens took off out the back door and left through the garage. But, Grandma and Grandpa went to the Double E, where they were going to hide out. And, Grandma drove. She drives really fast. She's a very fast driver. There was a trail of dust behind the car as they went through the hills on the way to the Double E. But when they got there, Grandpa was disappointed to find that son wasn't there. She'd gone into town to see Jed in jail. And Grandpa really loved son. He was very proud of her son. It was a little disappointing that she wasn't going to be there that day. Grandma went back into Greendale to visit great-grandma, who's 104. She cooked up some goodies for Grandpa's dinner, and it was a special soup that Grandpa loved. And
your coffee, said Edith as she filled his cup. Nobody will find you here, and Earl is glad you guys showed up. The way things are downtown, you might have to stay for a while. There was a helicopter hovering over your house when I talked to your neighbor Kyle.
Who the hell do they think they are? Invading our home like that. Grandma and I had to leave so fast, we couldn't even catch the cat. The helicopter scared the shit out of me, and it took off down the trail. Down across the railroad track towards the county jail.
I ain't gonna talk about Jed. don't watch Channel 2 or 6 or 9. I don't have time to talk that fast. And it ain't my crime. It ain't an honor to be on TV. And it ain't a duty either. The only good thing about TV is shows like Leave It to Beaver. Shows with love and affection. Like Mama used to say, a little Mayberry living can go a long way. He took Earl's gun down from the closet and loaded up both barrels. He went out on the porch and fired them off. And up walked a woman named Carol. Susan Carol from Early Magazine. I got some questions to ask. Well, you can stick them where the sun don't shine, Grandpa said with a gasp. Then he fell face first and let out a sigh. And Edith ran out and shot him. Grandpa was whispering to her from down on the floor. It looked like he was trying to talk. That guy just keeps singing. Can't somebody shut him up? I don't know for the life of me where he comes up with that stuff. Picture of Carmichael on the front page, posing with the Little League baseball team and a seedy shot of Jed on a motorcycle. Grandpa died like a hero, fighting for freedom of silence, trying to stop the media, trying to be anonymous.
Studio when we were recording these things, the day that I came in and as I wrote this song on the way over to the studio, and I used to stop and I'd write a little bit, and I'd drive a little farther, and I'd write some more, and then if I stopped writing, I'd just go a little farther and stop again, and then I could write some more. And when I got over to the studio and put the words into the computer so that we could put them out there so I could see them while we were doing the song, we were all feeling pretty bad about Grandpa. Just kind of got used to him. He was one of my favorites. I thought it was pretty funny. The things he used to say, the way he said them. He was always kind of making a joke out of everything. Everything he said, as serious as it was, seemed to have a little edge on it. So we missed him right away. Then after that, it seemed like nothing would happen. We recorded the song and we did it, but after that no more songs came for a while. We thought maybe Greendale was over. But then, a couple of days later, we started going, what happened to Grandma? Where did she go? So,
started yelling through a megaphone. standing on the highest floor.
Suits poured out of elevators.
They're all ready.
Phone heads began to speak.
I can't trust any of them.
But security couldn't get her down. She was welded to the Eagle's beak. Security brought in some blow.
And he finished the bottle. And from that moment on, Earth was never anything other than thirsty. He wanted more water, more water, more water. He started sweating, thinking too much. But it didn't happen right away. It took a few hours. He and Son were in his pickup truck, headed north on Highway 1, towards Alaska. Running through the night, just a pair of headlights. Earth was drinking and drinking water. Son was relaxed, feeling good. Sleeping on Earth's shoulder, had her head on his shoulder, her eyes closed. Son started dreaming. She dreamt she was in a high school play. All her girlfriends were there with her. They were all dressed in camouflage. They had a big flag and they were waving the camouflage flag with a big black wrench on it. There was a big cardboard house on the stage. It just looked like the double E. Grandpa was sitting on the porch. On the other side of the stage was a cardboard jail. Jed was sitting there, talking to Carmichael. Then Son's cat walked in. Son picked up her megaphone. Then a cardboard truck came by. Her and Earth in it. Thank you.
be the ocean when it meets the sky.
You can make a difference if you really try.
Be the magic in the northern lights.
6 days, 6 nights.
Be the river as it flows. Faces frozen in the frigid air. We gotta get there, Alaska. We gotta be there before the big machines. We got a job to do. We got to save Mother Earth.
Meine Damen und Herren, es beginnt nun eine Pause von 15 Minuten. Vielen Dank.
Endlich.
We're just watching a marvel of German engineering. It was a flatbed truck parked next to a nice sedan and a crane. The crane picked it up. Thank you.
Oh, Thank you. It's a song about animals and creatures.
Thank you.
eigentlich alles draußen, ja.